Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode. I'm glad you're here. Just a little note that you might hear some background noise today. My husband's idea of moving out and giving me space to do my podcast is cutting the grass. I tried to filter out the noise, but you're probably going to hear him on his lawnmower. Sorry about that, guys. Did you know that every Christian is expected to share the gospel? Yes, I said that right. As soon as we become believers, we are to share the good news with others. It's simply too good to keep to ourselves. Sharing the gospel can be a little bit scary, can it? After all, how can we be equipped to share with other people? Won't they think we're judging them? Won't they think we believe that we're better than them? It's so very important. If you're walking through your neighborhood and you see your neighbor's house on fire and they're inside, would you keep walking? I doubt it. We would run up to the door, bang on the door, and say, get out, before it's too late. Yet, every day, we are surrounded by people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their house is on fire. None of us are promised tomorrow. And if we have a neighbor or a friend who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, and something happened to them and we didn't share, how would we feel? After Jesus was crucified and resurrected, it was so important to him that he hung around with this last command for us. His last command should be our first priority as his children. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission is outlined in the Bible. Beginning with verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. While it's true that Jesus came to die for us, and he would have died for any one of us if we were the only one, it's not his intention that we keep this good news to ourselves. I used to have a bumper sticker that says, keep the faith, but not to yourself. Even the newest Christian can share his faith. If a new Christian knows nothing but reading the book of John is a good place to start, and it impacted his life, he's equipped to share that with someone else, to share the good news. John 4 tells us about a woman who couldn't contain her excitement after her encounter with Jesus. John and his disciples had left Judea and they were headed again for Galilee, but Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was wearied from the travel, so he was sitting beside the well. This was a divine appointment. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus told her to go call her husband. He knew she didn't have a husband. In fact, he knew she had had five husbands, and the one she was with was not her husband. And he told the woman. He told the woman everything she had done. Through this encounter, she came to accept the Messiah as the Lord of her life. When the disciples returned, they marveled that he was talking with a woman. It simply wasn't heard of that a Jewish man would talk with a Samaritan woman. But that's our Jesus, and that was a divine appointment. He went out of his way to have this meeting with this woman. And she was overwhelmed by that experience, so much so that she couldn't contain it. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. They knew the reputation of this woman, and they knew her, and they could see a change. And they were hungry for more. In verse 40, the Bible says, So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. That's what happens when we have our own encounter with Jesus. Don't we want that for other people? I love Greg Laurie. He has a wonderful Bible study called Tell Someone. I've been through this study several times, and each time I learn more and more. Evangelism is an important part of our faith. Even if it is scary, even if we don't feel equipped, it's something that God calls us to do. Greg Laurie says, This is what every follower of Jesus should be engaged in on a regular basis. Sharing our faith, leading others to Christ, discipling them, and helping them to get grounded in the church, and then going out and doing it all again. Why should we share the gospel? Well, first of all, because God tells us to. And secondly, if we've had a true encounter with Jesus and He's our personal Savior, then we care about other people. In Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37, Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do we really care? If we have a real concern and a burden for those who are hurting, we'll want to share our faith. We'll want to share what God's done in our lives. We'll want to share how God's gotten us through. As Greg Laurie also says, God isn't looking for ability as much as He's looking for availability. You are unique. God created you special. You are the only one who is right where God wants you to be. And who is that neighbor? Maybe it's the irritating neighbor who won't cut his grass and always brings his dog to your lawn when he's walking him. Maybe it's the new coworker that you simply have nothing in common with. Maybe it's a spiteful family member that's hurt you over and over. How can we care? It starts with prayer. It's hard to think of someone as the enemy. When you start praying, God changes your heart toward them. This has happened to me before. It's not something I like to do, but once I start praying for someone who's wronged me, my heart starts changing toward them. Give it a try. See if it'll work. And once we have a burden and a care for someone, then we can share our story. But first we have to earn the right. To have a friend, you have to be one. Here's a question to ask ourselves. Are we a bridge for people coming to know Christ? Or are we a barrier? and this one really hits home for me. For years, I didn't feel comfortable sharing. I'll just be honest. Like others, I thought, I'll just be a good example, and that will win people to Christ through the way that I live my life. But we're reminded from the scripture that I read that Jesus didn't say merely go into all the world and be a good example. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. People around us can follow our example as a Christian, but unless they have a personal relationship with Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell one day. That's the sobering, hard truth. Do we care enough? When the Holy Spirit tugs on our heart and asks us to share our story, share our testimony, share Jesus, do we listen or do we tell Him no by our inactions? Many years ago, I had an encounter that changed my life. God called me to reach out to someone for Him, and I didn't. It changed my life. I never had another opportunity to share with this young man, and I never saw him again. But many years ago, I wrote him a letter. I want to share that letter with you today. Dear guy at the beach, you don't know me. You have seen me before, but you would not recognize me. I have passed you walking on the beach many times in my mind through the years. I first knew about you as I was walking on Myrtle Beach with my family. All the people on the beach were standing and pointing out toward the water. You were far from the beach on a float, and you were in trouble. You and a friend had gotten out too far and were caught in the waves. After much effort, your friend was able to battle the tide, and he made it back to shore. You could not overcome the surf. We all watched in horror as the ocean repeatedly swallowed you up and spit you back up to the surface. This churning went on for what seemed like an eternity. At times, you were down for so long it seemed unimaginable that you could survive. I prayed, I am sure, along with so many others on the beach that day. Lord, please don't let this young man die today. My heart sunk every time you went under, as I stood there helpless to save you, pleading with God to send someone who could. Rescue personnel were arriving just as a well-toned 60 to 70-year-old surfer ran past us all into the water. I can still remember it so vividly. He was tan, wore a Hawaiian bathing suit, and handled his surfboard with such determination. He reached you in what seemed like a matter of seconds, and after an intense struggle, he rescued you that day. We watched as they worked to bring you back to life, and everyone cheered. I whispered my thank yous to our awesome God for saving you that day. Standing there on the beach as you were coming back to life, I heard God whisper back to me, "If you see him again on the beach, I want you to tell him that I saved him for a reason. He has a purpose." That meeting came a day or so later. I met you again walking on the beach with your friends. My heart was racing as you approached. God's message was right there, ready to spring from my lips. Our eyes met. Then I walked right past you without saying a word. Instantly, I regretted it. I started to go chase you down as you continued walking and talking with your friend, but I didn't. I missed that opportunity. I had missed a divine appointment. The next days at the beach, I searched for you frantically, but I never saw you again. Through the years, I have replayed our meeting over and over in my mind. I am so sorry that I didn't talk with you that day. I remember thinking that you had been through a lot and didn't need someone to preach to you that day. I remember being concerned about what you and your friends would have thought if this weird lady approached you with a divine word from heaven. I can't tell you how deeply I regret not sharing, not talking to you that day. I know that God could easily use someone else to relay that message, but He had asked me to do it. I let Him down, and I let you down. Some things you just can't do over. This is one of them. I have asked for God's forgiveness, and I ask for yours. Maybe someone else had the courage to relay God's message to you. Maybe there is some way this letter will find you. I pray you're well and that God used that experience on the beach that day to change your life. I know it has changed mine. Sincerely, Sharon. Yes, that did change my life that day. Since that time, if the Holy Spirit tugs on my heart to share with someone, I do it. Even if I look foolish, even if I don't know what to say, because I can't allow myself to live with this kind of regret another time. Do you have opportunities to share your faith, to share what God's done in your life, and you pass them up? Every day there are missed opportunities. If we're not paying attention or if we're not being obedient, we will miss divine appointments that God has arranged. I hope to make the most of every opportunity God gives me now. We can't wallow in guilt or regret. We must use missed experiences as bridges to the future where we take advantage of the circumstances into which God puts us. I strive to look for those opportunities more and to carry through. Keep the faith, but not to yourself. Share the word. Who cares what they think? If you don't have your 5-minute elevator testimony ready, I urge you to sit down and write that. No one has the experiences that you have, and you never know when you will meet someone who's been right where you've been, and God's given you a special word for them. No one can argue with your testimony. That's your story. If you're a child of God, that's His story. Dear Lord, thank you for divine appointments and that someone had the courage to tell me about you all those years ago. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive me for failing you. I know I do that every day. Please give us boldness. Give us ears to hear your voice. Give us eyes to see those around us in need. And give us opportunities to share your love. Thank you for your great love for us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood so that whoever believes in him might be saved. May we always have that message ready and waiting for the next appointment. Amen. If you're listening today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd love the opportunity to talk with you about that. Please contact me at SharonHawkins.net under the contact tab, and I would love to share with you. If you have a prayer request, I'd love to pray for you as well. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you would like to ask Him into your heart, you can repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of them now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and Lord, my God and my friend. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again from the dead. I ask you to come into my life. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you died for me, and that you rose again. You did this so that I could be saved, and I ask that you would come in my heart now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to know. As Christians, our mandate is clear. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not." The ESV says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." The next time the Holy Spirit knocks, let's be ready to tell someone. We can tell someone how the Lord has always been there for us through our wilderness situations. We can share how God's grace is always found for His children in the wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.